Today I was standing up and being Michael Crawford and all that, but this is kind of serious. So I've just learned, because I'm kind of weird, that it's better for me when we deal with serious topics to sit down, because I get a little bit more grounded. And it's a serious topic, and I need to be serious. So I'm sitting down. I've learned the hard way. There's some things you don't really need to be overly animated about. So we're going to talk about gender and for a little bit, and then we're going to do Q&A. And if there's a lot of questions, we'll respect the time. We'll cut off at 9, and we'll have plenty of time tomorrow to do questions. And you guys will be able to go and discuss tonight. And if there's still more questions and we don't get to your questions, we'll make sure we address those questions in some of the other sessions. Right, Andy? All right, we'll make sure we do that. Okay, so let's do that. So let's get started. So gender. So first of all, you know, this isn't really complicated, but it is kind of complicated, because I want to show you how crazy this has gotten. So if you go on the internet and you write and you type in, like, Google gender defined, listen to the definition. It says either of the two sexes, male or female, especially when considered with reference to social and cultural differences rather than biological ones. The term is also used more broadly to denote a range of identities that do not correspond to established ideas of male and female. So this is very new, because it wasn't more than like maybe a couple years ago where that definition would have been very simple. It just would have been like male and female. And now what's happening is they're trying to encompass the new findings and the new takes and what we would call the new narrative. So even when we try to define gender, it's messy. Even when you go to your go-to, I know all you guys are brainiacs and you get all your answers from the Bible and you guys memorize your textbooks and all that, and you never use Google for any of your schoolwork. I know that. We all know that. Your teachers all know that. No one's going to rat you out. We know you guys are just too studious to do that. But in case you do and you appeal to the infallible Google, just know that the infallible Google or the infallible Wikipedia or whatever you look up on the internet as your source is malleable. What that means is they too are influenced by common narratives, themes, the latest trends and takes and paradigms on how you should view stuff. You just need to understand that. So when we say, well, when we go talk about gender, what are we talking about? There's like a thousand opinions on gender. It's not like you can go to one place and go, oh, boom, most people agree. Most people do not agree. It's all over the spectrum. Okay, secondly, next slide. All right, gender dysphoria. Anybody know what that means? Yes, when you're confused about your gender. And according to the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, the DSM, which is on version 5, that's the manual that clinical psychologists, psychiatrists, and doctors are supposed to use, but sometimes they don't. This manual is produced by a bunch of smart people, and they try to come up with kind of definitions for the things we all struggle with. And one of the things that has risen sharply amongst your age group, in particular females, it's grown by 4,000%. Can you even comprehend that? It's astronomical. It's gender dysphoria. And it's, like you said, it's kind of when you get confused, but it's more than just being confused. It's more than being bothered. It's when you're in a place where this confusion turns into some type of psychological, mental, emotional, spiritual, behavioral kind of distortion to the point to where you can't function normally. It's not just, sometimes I think about being a boy, or sometimes I think about, I don't know my sexuality. Sometimes I just wonder and I can't sleep like a few times a year. No, it's like, this is plaguing me. I'm constantly bothered, and it keeps me from regular activities. Like, I can't study or whatever it is. That's dysphoria. Now, there's something else I didn't put up here that has to deal with your body that kind of goes hand in hand with this, body dysmorphia. And that's when there's something about your body that does the same thing. And the key here is preoccupation. So there's a part on your body or a region of your body that you get really preoccupied with. And again, it's not just like, oh, I'm fat, or I'm skinny, or my muscles, or my head's big, or it's not that. It's like you get obsessed with it, and you can't stop thinking about it to the point to where you can't, like, do your math homework. You can't function. You're like, huh? And you're like, you're just so obsessed with it. You're like, you got to have surgery. That's kind of the body thing. So these two things are often put together when we're talking about gender, and you need to understand what's going on out there in the world and what they're kind of dealing with. All right? Next slide. All right, so that's actually my quote. I just thought it'd be cool to have one of my quotes on the thing because I don't ever get quoted, so we're quoting me tonight. So sorry to do that to you, but that's my quote. All right, so you don't get to choose your gender, but you do get to choose how you relate to it. Okay, so we're going to deal with some facts real quick. You don't get to choose your gender. What I mean by that is that I think your gender is assigned to you biologically, but how you relate to it is not assigned to you biologically. It's like common sense. That explains to me why some people are born in a female body, what we would consider to be a female body, and they experience gender, what's the term? Dysphoria when they're 3, 5, 8, 13 and say, I think I was born in the wrong body. And then they say, well, I think I need to transition. It explains to me that you don't get to choose the body you were born with, because last time I checked, you weren't like sperm, egg, boom, pop thing, and you went, hold on a second, before this gets too far down the road, can I read the news and see which would be better to be, like male or female? You didn't get a choice. Anybody in here get a choice? You didn't get a choice. You just came out, and you had the parts you had, and you were like, ah, it's so cute. And you got like a football little onesie, or you got like, I don't know, a Bambi onesie, or whatever you got, right? You got what you got. And as you became conscientious, you started really like, whoa, wait a minute. Oh, okay. And you started to learn, and you realized, oh, I have certain things about me that are kind of female-ish and certain things about males. So you don't get to choose your gender. You do get to choose how you relate to it. You may not like the fact. Some people don't like the fact that they're a male or a female. Some people don't like things about their body. Some people don't like certain characteristics that their body has. And some people don't like what their body tends to do, right? So Pastor Todd told you that I'm married and I have 5 kids. I have 3 girls and 2 boys. And they're 27, 26, 24, 22, and 19. So I have 3 girls. They're 27, 26, and 22. And my wife. So At times I have 4 women in the house. Right now, my youngest son is at home with 2 of them. And he calls me sometimes and goes, help. And they turn the dog on him too. And so it gets you know, they do that. But so I know my daughters have often told me, Dad, there are times when we don't want to be a woman. There's times. Like one time my daughter was jogging and she came in the house and she was crying. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, a car followed me. And I said, what? And she goes, you have no idea what it's like to be a woman, because I'm running around the neighborhood and like guys honk at me and they whistle, hey, baby, and do all this stuff. And you run around and nobody says anything to you. And I was like, that's true. She's like, you know, sometimes I don't like being a woman because of stuff like that, right? But she didn't get to choose whether she's going to be a woman. She's getting to wrestle with her gender, okay? All right, so let's talk about some other facts. These are just some things that I did some research on, and they're not going to necessarily blow your mind. So 0.005% of the population struggles with gender. What do we call it? Yeah, so you mathematicians know that statistically, you have to count it because you're dealing with people, and people matter, and people's struggles matter, and gender dysphoria is a real thing. It's in the DSM. It is a real struggle for some people. And as the church, we don't get to pick and choose what's legitimate and what's not legitimate. Like, if it's their experience, it's their experience. Now, your experience doesn't make it right, but it's your experience. It's a really small percentage, okay? But it's true. It's out there. Also, right now, if you were to get like a big stadium, like a mega stadium that could hold a few million people, I think the percentage is like 40 million people around the globe, you know, like 7 billion, 40 million, somewhere around there, and you put stadium, the majority of people struggling with, what do we call it? Yeah, are teenage girls. The majority of people struggling with that, teenage girls. And when we struggle, we're not saying, oh, they're a little bit. That's the majority of people struggling with that, okay? That's just something you need to know, because in this narrative of gender identity and gender and all this type of stuff, it is interesting that the majority, and when I say majority, it's like 99 or 90, high 90 percentiles, depending on which study you read, okay? It's way up there, right? So that means that if you're 40 years old and a woman and 50 years old and 60 years old, it's really usually not your struggle. And same thing with men. It's a real strong struggle with teenage girls. Also, there is another term called desistance. Everybody say desistance. Everybody say desistance. Y'all gonna be a black church real quick, real quick. We heading there. We got the keys right here. I'm gonna bring my boy up in a minute. Right? I'm not gonna say touch your neighbor and say desistance. I'm not gonna say that. All right, but desistance. Desistance is a term that basically describes what happens when a person early on in life has dysphoria or dysmorphia and says, I'm in a girl's body, but I want to be a boy. I'm in a boy's body, I want to be a girl, or I'm asexual or pansexual or binary or non-binary and all these things. And then later on in life, it flips back. Now, if you're watching the news or CNN or a lot of the other places, you're never going to hear this because it's counter-narrative. Doesn't fit like the thing. Doesn't fit all the gender identity politics. But unfortunately, it's just scientific facts. The percentages range between 60% and 90%. What that means is if someone is 7 years old, which you can do now, if you're in a lot of public schools, a lot of states, if you're 7 years old and you're a boy and you say, I think I'm a girl, I think instead of I'm Jimmy, I'm Janet, and they say, okay, we're going to start calling you Janet, and we're going to take you to counseling and get you reassigned and move your titles and all that such stuff. It says 60 to 90% of the children and teenagers that do the switch back. That's a big percentage, isn't it? That's not me with an agenda, oh, you're a pastor. No, that's what science says. It's so funny how we're selectively believing science. When science says, wear the mask, we wear the mask. When science says, you don't need a mask, I'm still wearing a mask. I mean, we're selective. And when it comes to this kind of stuff, you get really selective. You got to be careful. You got to think, right? I want you to think, all right? So this desistance is actually happening. And there's some really popular cases. There's one in England where someone transitioned at a really early age. And by transition, I mean they removed her at the time, breasts, testosterone. She had complete corrective surgery, so she went from female anatomy to male anatomy. And then when she was like 25, she went, I made a big mistake. So now she's suing the hospital because she's like, you guys transitioned me when I was like 7. I don't know what I was doing. They're like, well, that's what you said. And now they're showing, wait a second, what is the statistics on desistance? How many people are changing their mind? They're like, it's well over like 60% is the bottom. In a lot of cases, it's 70, 80, 90%. Think about that. Let that sink in. All right. States. A lot of states have really what we would call liberal laws, which means that a parent can drop their kid off at school and find out in weeks to come that the school has changed their kid's name and their kid's gender, and their kid is now seeing the school counselor. And in some states, you can be as young as 13 years old, and the school, without parental consent can start putting you on opposite medicines and start subscribing or getting you signed up for transitions without your parents' consent. There's a lawsuit going on in the state of Washington right now where a dad's like, what happened to my kid? And they're like, well, technically, you don't really have any say, which is scary. It's crazy, all right? So one of the things you constantly hear is gender is a social construct. If you guys graduate from here and you go to a major university, that's what they're going to teach you. What they mean by that is the idea of male and female is not rooted in science. It's rooted in society. It's rooted in a patriarchal, kind of old school, white, racist, Christian kind of paradigm. But it's not true. because, I mean, the same people who would say gender's a social construct when it comes to human beings never say gender's a social construct when it comes to tigers, lions, monkeys, bears, insects, like dogs. Gender's fluid. What kind of dog do you have? Oh, I have a female Rottweiler. Are you sure? I mean, any day that female may wake up and say, no, I'm a male. Like, I mean, where does this go? Like, where does it go? So we have to be careful of this, like, gender's a social construct. If you mean by social construct what we tell boys they should be to be boys, that's true. If you mean what we tell girls to be girls, that's true. If you say, I remember one time my dad, who wasn't overly involved in my life, he came to my house one time, and, you know, I have five kids, right? And my youngest, he was three, and I had three girls. So you know what my house looked like, right? Prototypical, right? If there's any progressive in the room, you're stereotyping girls. I'm just saying, we had girls. So we had strollers and dolls and Cabbage Patch Kids and American Girl dolls and, like, kitchen sets and all these kind of things set up in another house. And my three-year-old came outside to meet him, and he was pushing a pink stroller with a baby doll in it. And my dad was horrified. And he goes, aren't you going to do something about that? I said, about what? You can't let him push that stroller. I said, why not? I said, it's pink with a baby in it. I was like, and what's wrong with that? He's like, it's pink. That's for girls. I was like, if it was blue, it'd be okay. He goes, yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that, like, colors were assigned. If you mean gender is a social construct by that, I totally agree with you. Those are human laws imposed on men and women, not God's laws. If you mean that the idea that a man is a man and a woman's a woman is based on some fluid, changeable, well, then I would disagree with you, okay? And we don't have to yell and cancel each other and not go to church anymore and do all the stuff the world does. We can just say, hey, we just disagree. It's okay. Pipe down. Pipe down, my man. Pipe down. All right. Let's talk about transitions real quick. So just so you know, because sometimes we are sheltered and stuff, that this is, like, happening, like, fast. And it may not be happening real fast around you guys, but it's happening fast, fast, fast. There's a lot of activism around gender identity and gender stuff. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of, like a lot of it. And people are really saying, look, when a child is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old and they say, well, I'm a boy's body, but I'm a girl, they say, we got to transition them as soon as possible, fast, 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 fast. Go, 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 and put the resources. So you can go to this organization called Planned Parenthood. You guys know what Planned Parenthood is? Depending on who you talk to, Planned Parenthood is this great organization, all right? But Planned Parenthood is one of those organizations that if you're a girl, depending on your state, as young as 13, all the way up to 16 years old, without your parents' consent, you can walk in there as a female and say, I think I'm a boy. They will write you a prescription, no visit, no examination for testosterone. And you know, when they give a girl testosterone, they don't give you, like, a normal dose. You typically get 10 times the normal dose. Because what you're trying to do and what they're saying is, we want to stave off puberty. We don't want the girl to get to puberty and start to develop all the things she develops. We don't want the boy to get there. We want to stop that and try to reverse the process, which never works, by the way. But they're trying to reverse the process. Transition is, like, real, and it's getting younger and younger and younger. We're used to seeing older people transition, you know, 25, 28, 30, and you're like, whoa, Billy became Shelly. And you're like, oh, and he now has female parts, and wow, and I, whoa, and in the day we call transvestites and transgender, wow, and all these types of things, and but that's happening younger and younger and younger and younger. In other words, unfortunately, my hunch is by the time some of you, I know this is going to ill you out, some of you, by the time some of you guys have kids, this talk on gender, if you tell your kids, oh yeah, the black bald head guy from Baltimore came over here with the manager and he talked to us about gender, they'll be like, that's dumb. Because it's like, we were taught that when we were like three. It's not even a big deal. It's like a big deal right now. It's going to be so imagine if they're already transitioning 7-year-old kids. I mean, what's to stop them from the parents saying, oh, you know, I've had my kid and he's 4 months old and he doesn't like anything pink. And we named her Shelly, but I think she's a Bill. Can we transition him? I mean, legally on the books, there's nothing to stop them, okay? I just want you to know that. And last thing I'll say about transitions is medical doctors are now being taught in med school to be affirmation first, doctor second. What that means is if someone comes to them and says, I'm a man, but I think I'm a woman, they're taught to say, okay. Not, hold on a second, can we talk about that? Now, if you walk up to the same doctor and say, I have cancer, what are they going to say? They're not going to say, okay. If you walk up to them and say, I have diabetes, what are they going to say? They're not going to say, I'm okay. If you walk up to them and say, I think I'm a killer whale, they're not going to say, okay. They're going to go, oh, we need to talk. We need to talk. We need to talk. Yeah, you do have white and you have black on, but you, let's talk. Let's talk. Let's talk. You know, maybe I could see you swim. Okay, let's talk. But they wouldn't just go, here's a prescription. Let's get to surgery, get you some fins going, you know what I'm saying? Dorsal fin, get you going, teach you how to swim. Like, they wouldn't do that. They would go, let's talk. Because 5 years ago, there was something in the DSM called gender identity disorder. Now it's been changed to what? Gender, what's it called? Gender identity disorder was changed to gender So now we're saying it's not a disorder. It's something that we need it now. Before we go any further, we have to realize this is a serious issue. And oftentimes the church shamefully, and unlovingly and disrespectfully treats this like a hobby horse in a game. And what we do to people who are actually wrestling through these issues or have family members or children or aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters who have children is we just dismiss them and we become a community where there's certain things, just like the world, you can't talk about. Because we believe in the Bible. Well, if your Bible is so small that you can't address gender, you don't got the right Bible, amen. Right? You don't have the right Bible. We should be able to talk about anything in the church, right? Well, what are we so scared about? God knows everything anyway. Have you guys actually read the Bible? You know what kind of stuff's in the Bible? It's crazy stuff in the Bible. Like, seriously. I think Christians think they read, when I'm reading the Bible, I'm like, what, God, are you serious? Why is he, what? No, get him. No, get why? I'm like, it's like Kardashians in that mug. It's like, what's going on? It's crazy. It's nuts. And God's in the middle of it, like loving people and being faithful and doing stuff. And I'm like, it's crazy. So we should be able to talk about anything. But yeah. So and the last thing I'm going to say about facts is social media. So you guys are really clued in social media. So you know that the social media makes the best disciples. They're way better than, social media is way better at the church than making disciples. Social media is hands down the most influential when it comes to gender. Nothing has influenced people more than social media. All right, so next slide. Okay, so here's how I view gender. I'm gonna go real fast. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. These are the four big pillars of the Bible. The Bible starts with creation, moves quickly to fall, then talks, prophesies redemption, gives pictures, then Christ comes, we sang about that, and then we have the things called restoration or the eternal state or the age to come or whatever you want to call it. These four periods of time. Creation is Genesis 1. God creates us, and he creates them male and female in his own image, male and female. And then he says procreate, and we're going to have more male and female. So everything's cool until you get to Genesis 3, and then everything gets jacked up. Sin distorts everything. It distorts marriages, parenting. It distorts school. It distorts thinking, diseases, confusion, all that stuff. So when we say it's sin, that's what sin does. We say sin is parasitic in nature. You know what a parasite does? A parasite doesn't have life of its own. It gets to you and it sucks your life out. Mosquitoes are parasites. And I don't understand why God has mosquitoes. And when in California, we don't have mosquitoes. Out here, we got too many mosquitoes. That's my question when I get to heaven. Lord, can you explain mosquitoes? You're all wise, but I didn't get that. They like suck and they bite and then you scratch and it bleeds. Like, what are they doing? And they ruin the summer. Like, you don't even want to go outside. And then you spraying the stuff. That stuff don't work. It's just that they be ripping you off. They spraying you. Like, I spray it up. It don't work. Mosquitoes be like, that's like cologne. They bite right through that, right? When you think about this, you have creation and you have fall. The fall messed up everything. Sin distorts everything. Everything. It either exaggerates it or diminishes. And the day you eat, you'll die. Satan says, no, you won't. You'll actually be like God. That's an exaggeration. You don't become like God by eating fruit. That's an exaggeration, a gross. And then he said, and actually, you won't die. That's a diminishment. That's what sin does. So we should suspect that sin would come to gender and exaggerate it. I'm a man. No, you're a bully. Right? That's exaggeration. Sin comes to gender and distorts it. How does it do it? Exaggerates it or diminishes it? Sin comes to sex. It's everything. It's nothing. Sin comes to marriage. It's outdated. It's a social construct. It's not. That's what sin does. Always exaggerating, always diminishing. That's what sin does. Redemption comes to fix that. That's what redemption is. Redemption is you hijacked my planet and my people, and I want them back, and I'm getting them back. That's what redemption does. It begins the process of reconciling things back to God. Sex, marriage, gender, parenting, school, education, politics, everything, right? And then in restoration, we don't ever have to have a worthy, ever, or talks on gender because everything's made right. We go right back to the garden when there's no sin. This paradigm helps me understand gender. Me. I'm not saying you. It helps me. Because when I go for gender, I go, what's the Bible say about gender? Well, there's gender. It's male and female. And what happens when people have sex and they're pregnant? They have babies. And they don't have cats, dogs, whales, lions, tigers. Although that would be cool to have a tiger. I'm crazy, huh? Yeah. Why do things get messed up? The fall. Why are things distorted? The fall. How do things get fixed? Redemption. How do things get ultimately fixed? Restoration. What happened to gender? The fall. Where did this gender identity disorder come from? The fall. Where did every disorder come from? The fall. What does sin do? It distorts everything. How does it get fixed? Ultimately, redemption, right? But ultimately in restoration, we're going to have struggles until Jesus comes back or until we're face to face with Jesus. That helps me. Next slide. All right. So, this is way too long. All right. So go to the next slide. Go to the next slide. All right. So for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And all they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and being birds and animals and reptiles. All right. Next. Therefore, God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Now notice, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. So we don't have to read the rest of it. What I want you to see is, even the Bible says there's some things that are natural. Let's go to the next slide. Next one. All right. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. This speaks to the fact that if you're struggling with any gender identity issues, all these, it doesn't matter, any mental health, hurt, pain, there's a newness in the gospel. There's a newness with the Holy Spirit. There's a newness in a walk with God, a newness, a restoration newness that's present in people. Next slide. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies. So when we talk about gender identity, or we talk about genders in our bodies, the world doesn't see their bodies as God's. They see them as their bodies. It's my body. I can do whatever I want with my body. You can't tell me what to do with my body, right? It's my body. A believer doesn't see it that way. We have a what we call a Christian worldview. It's not my body, it's his body. It's not my, there aren't my hands, they're his hands. It's not my eyes, they're his eyes. They're not my mouth, it's his mouth. Everything belongs to him. I'm created. I didn't make myself. I had nothing to do with this. I just became conscious of me like when I was 2 or 3 years old, right? I didn't do this. God did this. So he's in charge of me, and he tells me what my body is and what it's for. Now, the world rejects this revelation and says, no, that's all wrong. Paul had that all wrong. He was all confused. He was just an old guy way back in the day. He didn't have Google. He didn't understand technology. And the Bible would say, no, this is right. Like, our bodies are not ours. They're God's. And they're supposed to be used to love God and love neighbor. Next slide. All right. This is interesting when you think about Jesus and gender. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a what? Maybe the Bible just is old. What do you mean a son? I mean, doesn't he get to choose what he's going to be? And you're able to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Interesting. Next slide. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a what? Son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. It's interesting. The Bible is unapologetic when it comes to gender. It's just out there. Like, sorry to offend, but you're having a boy. He's going to be a man. Call him the Son of Man. That's what he is, right? Because Jesus wasn't susceptible to that. Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given, for there are eunuchs who are born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this shall accept this. This is where they ask him a question, should everybody get married? And Jesus said, no. By the way, everyone shouldn't be married. Maybe every one of you guys are going to get married, but not everybody should get married. I know that may be shocking, because in Christianity it's like, don't have sex outside marriage. So get married. So there's a lot of young people, I'm getting married because you just want to have sex. So you get married so you have sex. But then you don't even like the person, all that kind of stuff. And it's tragedy. Don't do that. It's okay. Jesus was single. Paul was single too, right? So he's saying, look, not everybody can accept this. There are, look what it says. There are eunuchs who are born that way. That means they don't have sexual function. There are eunuchs who have been made that way. They were castrated. And there are eunuchs who choose to live like eunuchs. They could be married, male or female, but they choose to be single for some higher purpose, is what it says, for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, right? Because in case you don't know, like, when you grow up and you get married, like, you're not your own anymore. You may subscribe to the modern thing, yes, I am. Well, you're going to have big problems, I'm just telling you, right? But what's Jesus getting out here? Look, there's function to this whole idea of gender. All right, next one. And the next one. And we're done. All right, so I've made it pretty clear about the gospel and the church. I've said some things about gospel church.